Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
I feel like we've all been taught to be scared of the sun. Avoid it, reapply constantly, cover up immediately. But recently, I started questioning that. The sun actually plays a role in things like your mood, sleep, and hormones. So I'm not avoiding it anymore. I'm just more intentional about what I put on my skin when I'm in it. A lot of conventional SPFs are filled with things like hormone-disrupting chemicals, seed oils, and synthetic ingredients. So I started looking for something simpler. That's what led me to Primally Pure's SPF. It's super minimal, only 9 ingredients, using non-nano zinc, plus really nourishing things like tallow and mango butter. I've been using their sun cream, and it honestly feels more like skincare than sunscreen. Lightweight, not chalky, and just easy to wear. So if you've been rethinking your sunscreen, Primally Pure is one of the best places to start.
Thanks for tuning into this special episode of Hashtag Dork. It's another top 50 countdown. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Razzle Von Dazzle. All hail the King Ginger Ale. It's Ryan. Davey, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I'm enjoying this the uptick in spring weather. We want to talk about the weather, just make it really interesting right out of the start.
Yep, that's nice.
The lowest form of human conversation.
So it was warmer today. Also joining us is Mac and Goo from the Mac and Goo podcast. Gentlemen, how's it hanging?
Fantastic.
Him?
I see what you're doing.
That's from the show.
Yeah. Guys, there's been 50 seasons of Saturday Night Live. They are in their 50th season, I should say. They just had the big anniversary special. They did the whole bells and whistles with the music and with the whole to-do. It was quite something. And this is a topic I've wanted to hit on for a while, and it just kind of made sense to wait until the 50-year anniversary. And so what we did, the four of us, as well as good friend of the show, Billy Lanny, another big SNL guy, we put together a 1 through 50. And if whoever was in first place got 50 points, all the way down to whoever you voted 50th got 1. I crunched the numbers, and bang, we have the perfect list. I will say we were all born in the 80s, so the list may...
We are all white guys born in a five-year span.
Correct. There is a window there. You may see it. But again, that's what makes it the hashtag dork list. If you want to go see the variety list or the Rolling Stone list, go seek those out. But I'm very excited about this list. No ties. We broke it all down. Real quick, I'll say this. There were only 68 total cast members receiving a single vote. So it goes to show you the sheer amount of overlap that the five of us had.
Yeah, I guess the only thing I'll say is both of my parents loved the show too. So growing up, I heard them talking about certain sketches and watched some of their sketches. So I was a little influenced by that too. And it's also hard not to be influenced by like those big lists where like, if you might've had someone at 48 and they got them at like 20, you're like, maybe I'm not giving them the right amount of credit.
Those lists suck. Stop. Yeah.
This is our list, Mac. Make this it our list. Yeah. I remember my parents telling me about SNL. They remember the first season vividly, like watching it and catching it in there. I'd be like, what even is this? Cause they were doing like fake commercials and they're doing all this stuff. Like, what is the show? So they remember that first season and loved it. I got into it probably like the first Will Ferrell year. I'd probably work around 95, 90. Yeah. 96 maybe is when I started watching it live on Saturdays, but then Comedy Central for years would just rerun everything. So I don't know if I've seen every episode, but it's probably pretty close. The area that I'm the weakest would be like the most recent 5 years, to be honest, not the rest of it. Cause they always show best ofs. I've seen all like the individual character best ofs and things like that. So I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of the 50 years.
So Comedy Central would do pretty much from 86 until like semi-current day around like 0102. And then when it went to E, they would show the stuff from the 70s and then they would show whatever the most current possible season was. But like you, I grew up mostly with the Comedy Central stuff where I've seen every sketch from that 15-year period just on a loop.
And for me, it was a little bit before that. Like I had a friend growing up who like would tape. His parents wouldn't let him watch it, but he would tape every. So like we would go to his house and watch it. And it was like the Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, up until like the Sandler, Farley stuff. Like, so we would watch that. And it was like fifth, sixth, seventh grade. Yeah. Like I first started like really getting into this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I remember them watching and like, you know, when Adam Sandler would do like the, he's like, you got to sit down, you got to watch this. And it was like the Adam Sandler doing like the budget Halloween costumes.
Awesome.
When he's like, so I'm crazy. Like nose finger man. Like, just
crazy. I'm crazy on the table on my head. What is this man doing right here with a pickle on his head?
And I remember being like, what the hell is this?
I'm crazy.
Fucking perfect comedy.
Yeah, that was like, I remember that. Which in sixth grade was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, they have some great moments. So let's dive into this list. It's going to be all available here, straight shot on YouTube. Podcast version is going to be split into two, first half, second half. But coming in at number 50, Chris Parnell. And right off the rip, I will say he is a part of three of my favorite sketches of all time. He and Sandberg did Lazy Sunday, which I loved. He also is sort of the interviewer in the Natalie Portman rap. Mm-hmm. And he is Scott Jurgensen that Will Ferrell kills with like a trident in that one with Pierce Brosnan. I've been doing cocaine and doing push-ups all day. That's how he comes running.
Oh, Scott Jurgensen.
Parnell, great straight man. In a lot of great sketches. Maybe not always the funniest guy. He's in Cowbell. Like he's in a ton of monster sketches.
I was going to say Perv. Come on, guys.
he's one of the in the Cowbell sketch, like one of the most like underrated people. Yes, in so that
he was
sketch.
Known as the Iceman. He would never break, and he got fired from the show. But he was so well loved that Will Ferrell threatened to quit unless they hired him back.
Amazing,
and he's also now one of the best like voice actors. He's
great. Oh, yeah.
He's been on Rick and Morty. He's in Archer. Like he's in a bunch of stuff. Awesome.
He was also the bad George W. Bush when Farrell left.
Yeah, that was
over.
Not as
he wasn't good, but he's also unrecognizable in one of the best debate sketches where it's Gore and George W. Bush, and he's Tom Brokaw. You would have no idea that it's Chris Parnell.
All right, next guy.
So I got him, Beck Bennett. Now this is a guy like one half of someone who I'll talk about next, but Beck Bennett, him and Kyle Mooney like started like this YouTube channel. And if you haven't like watched any of that stuff, you can kind of see like what brought them to Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. And again, he was kind of like, if Kyle Mooney's like the weirdo, he was like the straight man to this whole thing. And he, sneaky, you know, good writer. And also like, you know, with the, like the little movies that they would do. But someone who's like solid, like definitely solid cast member. And I think he was on for four or five years. Yeah.
He was on for 8 years. Is the list of performers, right? Like writing doesn't have anything to do with it, but if they're a good writer, we mention
it. I just mentioned.
No, I know. I'm making sure I didn't have it in my list.
It mattered a little.
Yeah. It mattered a little.
Yeah.
He also does one of my favorite characters. He was named Richard Patterson. It was a man with the body of a baby.
Yes.
So baby he boss. Would, like physically move around like a baby, but then speak like a man.
Which was an incredible thing to watch. It was a dumb premise, but like if you just laughed at the physicality of it, like it was hilarious.
And then also, you know, with him being the straight man, he's countless teachers, dads, politicians just thrown in.
Definitely. Mac?
Coming in at 48, Heidi Gardner, a current cast member. I think we ended up with maybe three or four current cast members. She's been on the show for about 8 years now. I think she's been on the main roster for six. To me, she kind of got lost in the shuffle while Cecily was still here, because I think she does a lot of what Cecily Strong does. And now that Cecily's been off the cast for two or three seasons, I think she's been able to shine. She's a chameleon. She can kind of do everything that she's asked to do. And she's got an all-time break on that Beavis and Butthead sketch.
Yep, so that was a great one. Yeah, she's in a ton of stuff. You could tell how they view her because she's similar to Beck Bennett. Like, there was a run where, like, every sketch on a night, like, she might be in it.
And she does a great on Weekend Update. She has a girl who's, like, pretending to not be mad, which is really good.
I like that. Yep.
Next one up here, and a little tough because he's only a Weekend Update anchor, but he was also a writer for 10 years prior to that, and that is Colin Jost. Now, while he is half of a team, and you could argue that Michael Che might be better at the update stuff, I'm someone who listens to the Lonely Island and Seth Meyers podcast, and the amount they talk about Colin Jost adding a joke to one of their songs or writing for one of their songs, he's done so much beyond just the Weekend Update. He's also the head writer right now.
Yeah, and like, the Weekend Update thing is, it's interesting to see some of your guys, because I didn't vote for Jost, and a few of you guys had him on there, obviously enough to get in here. I think he's good. I think the Weekend Update is an important part. I mean, it's been a staple of that show for so long. I just look back on it, and some of these guys will certainly get to on this list. I have a lot of other Weekend Update people above him.
Well, that I considered writing when I was doing this.
I did too.
Well, so go ahead, Davey.
So I was going to say, I agree with everything you said. However, when they do the Christmas episode and him and Che write jokes for each other.
Back and forth, yes.
That might be the best thing they have going right now. Like, absolutely. That's the hardest I laugh.
I would say for a good 10, maybe 15 years, Weekend Update's been consistently the best part of the show, and in large part because of Jost. So he got a little boost for me for that.
I also, little Gooster Damas here. When Lorne Michaels steps down, I think Colin Jost is the head of the show.
Could be.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good work.
All right.
Next.
Moving on. So the other half of these boys, Kyle Mooney coming in at 46. I think this dude is hilarious. His YouTube stuff. To the thing he did, you posted all the time with him, like Larry David, doing like
the 90s sitcom house. Yes.
Yeah,
kills me every time.
But he does this thing, and it's like the most weirdly hilariously accurate thing. It's like Chris Fitzpatrick. He does like that, like this, like the skid kid in like your high school.
Yeah,
who have a bunch of knives and would like smoke cigarettes. Like, you know that kid.
Yeah,
and he plays that kid so perfectly. And when they do like the like the SoCal today, like they're from San Diego. So when they do like the SoCal kids, I think he's absolutely hilarious.
He's very good. No, he is.
He also has one of my favorite characters from the past 10 years on the show, and that is Bruce Chandling.
Oh, Bruce Chandling. Oh, yeah.
Bruce Chandling is amazing. I think that people might have overlooked him as like, he was someone that came in after Andy Samberg, and people just assumed that he'd be taking over the videos and the offbeat humor. But he did more than that. He did Baby Yoda.
He did. All right, we've gone very new school. We'll dip into a little bit of the old school. Who do we got next?
Martin Short. And I'm not going to lie to you. Have I seen all the Martin Short stuff on SNL? No. But outside of SNL, I would argue that he is pound for pound the funniest person in the world.
He might be. I mean, I go Tim Robinson right now, but I think Martin Short is also one of those.
I would also say for like a wider audience, Tim Robinson does not appeal to everyone. I think everyone can get behind Martin Short.
And I think, I'm stepping on you all the time, Mac.
He's a tough one to rate because he's clearly hysterical, but the contribution to SNL wasn't.
Well, for one year, it was him, Christopher Guest, and Harry Shearer, right? Is that no?
Yes. Yeah, and Michael McKean.
If you're rating pure funniness, he's
clearly Michael McKean was in 95, Davey.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
McKean came later, surprisingly. We did Spinal Tap together earlier.
He took over for Phil Hartman when Phil Hartman.
But there was a great sketch that him and Harry Shearer did with the synchronized swimming. Was that them?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, Billy Crystal too. So Billy Crystal was in that. So they had that one season where they brought in the like the big boppers. And out of all those people, I respect Martin Short the most, so he is on my list.
Ed Grimley, right? Ed Grimley with the hair up in the air, and he's like, I must say, and he's like the pants hiked up. It's great.
And I would say, one of the things that I think I agree with you, Goo, that Martin Short belongs on this list is how funny people talk about him, and how like. If you've ever, and it's not SNL, but the Jiminy Glick stuff.
Jiminy Glick stuff is the funniest stuff ever.
It's the funniest stuff I've ever seen.
So good.
Yeah.
I saw Steve Martin and Martin Short do their show at like Foxwoods, the two of them together, and it's unbelievable. They just rip each other for an hour and a half. They just like, all they do is make fun of each other. And he's, I stopped watching Only Murders in the Building, but Martin Short was the best part.
Of easily,
that.
Yeah.
I get kind of phased out of that, but
none of this stuff is on SNL. But yes,
no. But the guy's hilarious, and he deserves a spot on this list. I'm glad he made the list.
At number 44, 80 Bryant. Now, I acknowledge she's not the most versatile cast member there's ever been. I just find her flat out funny. Like, she's been off the show maybe for 4 or 5 years now, but she was there for a solid 10 years. I feel like her delivery is top notch. She also excelled at a lot of the pre-recorded stuff that they would air, not necessarily live. And a little fun fact about her, I guess it doesn't matter, but it does to me. She's married to Connor O'Malley.
Hilarious.
I will say that I think they bungled her role on the show a little bit, because at the time she was on the show, they brought in Melissa McCarthy to play Sean Spicer. Is that who the politician was? Yeah. Where just use 80 Bryant.
100%.
Like, if you're going to use someone like Melissa McCarthy, 80 Bryant could probably do it.
They had that great pre-recorded song with like all the women when it was like was it Thanksgiving break or whatever, you're bringing your boyfriend home to, and like you're like in your old bed.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny. That was good. All right, coming in at number 43 is one of the aforementioned Weekend Update people I feel like was better than Colin Jost, and that was Kevin Nealon. I love Nealon. I thought he was, you know, he did the Hans and Franz stuff and he's in some sketches, but where he kind of was highlighted was his sort of like really sarcastic, really dry fake news bit. So he's not the best. I think we all have the same person that we think was the best at Weekend Update, but I really like Nealon. Part of it is he was the guy that brings Sandler on. He is the guy that bring like all those different characters on. So I thought Nealon was really good. And if we're going to value Weekend Update, I'm glad he made the list. Anybody else on Nealon? No,
he's not my favorite.
No.
No,
but I do appreciate like the dryness, because he would, you know, he would have Sandler next to him doing stupid shit and he would just have to like kind of lock in and not.
A subliminal message man is good too. Like how he can keep that straight where he's like saying one thing and then like it's a hard fucking cadence to pull off.
And I remember watching him when Sandler's singing Red Hooded Sweatshirt and he did like he was pretending to like write and he's like dip, dip, dip. Like he just to get him off, you know, just kind of like, right, yeah, yeah.
All right, Dave.
All right. So we get the first original cast member that we have up on the list in 42. I had him a little higher than this, I think, but we have Dan Aykroyd, who, you know, the contributions to the show, I think he was on for 4 seasons, like at the beginning. But you want to talk about like writing and stuff? I mean, he's kind of like the brains behind like what like the writing was in those first couple seasons, and the guy responsible for like keeping Belushi in line. Like if you listen to like any of those stories, like they were like super close, and you know, he's the one who kind of kept Belushi going. Cause like I was watching that Saturday Night movie and like, you know, Belushi like didn't even sign his contract until the night like the show aired. And a lot of that had to do with like Aykroyd, like kind of like babysitting him. So, but Dit is a really funny dude. If you watch some of those early episodes, I think his sketches kind of stand out. But again, an OG cast member that, you know, needs his flowers at some point.
Blues Brothers, Two Wild and Crazy Guys. He could sell you a fish bassomatic thing with the blender. He could talk real fast. He also did Two Presidents and Julia Child.
Did the fucking Bag of Glass every year. They would play that during like the Christmas special is like one of the best things ever. Like, what is this? It's like, it's a ball. It's a harmless ball. He's like, oh, is it? He like chokes on it and falls apart. that was good. And this is also one where people 20 years older than us would have him in their top five, which is fine. Probably. But like, it just never really hit for me. Like, I don't think I ever thought Coneheads was funny. And yet for a certain demographic, they're like, oh, fucking Coneheads is amazing. And it's like, yeah, not for me.
The movie stunk.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is true. But anyway, Aykroyd does crack our list at 42.
At 41, Seth Meyers, another Weekend Update writer sort of guy. Himself, probably never, ever the funniest guy in the room, but he really excels at teeing other people up and letting them shine, which I think has value in and of itself. He was also the Weekend Update guy for like 8 or 9 years. He ascended to head writer on the show during a time where they were very funny. Those are the Hader wig years. So I think he gets a little credit for that, too. I didn't think he needed to be top 20, top 25, but him on the list, I think, is good.
And much like Keith said with Sandler and Nealon, Myers had Stefan. So
yeah, right. He was there with Stefan. That's a good point.
And he had Amy Poehler for a little bit, too, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also had at the end, what's her name?
Cecily
I'm blanking Strong. Right.
Cecily Him and Strong Cecily too. Did a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was like a forgotten Weekend Update person.
Well, she the was, issue was that she was so good as a walk on that it was valuable. Wasting her as an update person. Yeah.
Right. 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 All right. Number 40.
Oh, we got 40. So Horatio Sanz. SNL has this track list of like, yeah, they have to have like their fat guy, you know, they have to have like their funny fat guy. And, you know, Horatio Sanz did a lot of funny shit.
But he didn't have any physical comedy to him. That was the issue, is that he wasn't as physically comedic as the other bigger guys.
Yeah, but him kind of laughing at Will Ferrell made me laugh.
He would also laugh at Will Ferrell. He would laugh at Jimmy Fallon. He would laugh at himself.
You can't. So one of the most earwig songs that they ever did was the Christmas song with like
him. Oh, good. He nails that thing. Everybody in
the tiny backpacker guitar. But he also did he do one of the Welshly Arms hotels with Will Ferrell? He was like in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Or like, but yeah, like I was just again, I would just love watching Will Ferrell and other people make him laugh.
Yeah. He was in Cowbell too.
Yes, he was.
Yep. Yeah, he's really good.
He was Gobi in the Boston sketch too.
Was he also? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's always drinking something weird and like
yeah.
long hair.
His best sketch. It was his second episode, and they did a best of Horatio Sanz, and they just kept on playing the same clip from the episode prior of his one sketch over and over again.
Was he also in Cork Soakers? Wasn't that
he was?
Was that his thing? The
Cork Soakers was
really good.
He's also in Road Trip.
Sure,
not on SNL, but just
no, no. Just you know, filling out the filmography for him.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number 39, it is Mr. Peepers himself, Chris Kattan, Mango, Night at the Roxbury. I mean, what's not to like about little Chris Kattan?
Apparently, Tracy Morgan hated him, but that's.
I am stunned.
Oh, Kattan Norm hated him too, actually.
Top 20, just based off Goo probably ranking him like fifth.
Yeah, Goo had him high.
No, I did have him high, and I want to give him credit for, I just spoke about Horatio Sanz, not the best physical comedian. Yeah. Chris Kattan was actually a great physical comedian on the show.
He was.
I mean, an apple as Mr. Peepers is some of the best stuff going.
So I brought an apple on the show with me.
And there was like, he would like jump and like stomp on that stool. I'm stunned he never fell.
It's incredible. I'm a little biased because the first couple seasons I remember watching weekly, he was a big part of that show. And so he always just kind of stood out to me. The little pocket-sized guy. It was also good physical comedy, just the fact that Will Ferrell's like twice the size of him.
Yes.
They were in a lot of stuff together. True. So always like Kattan. And he was one of those guys that like some of the guys we're talking about here became massive stars, like the biggest stars of the day. Others, nothing. Like this was the height for him, and this was the height for him. Yeah, Goo's gonna give me some obscure
you guys
movie.
Want some cookies. Yeah.
So that's
it. Or do you want monkey bone? Which one do you want, Keith?
Yeah, give me a monkey bone.
That's it. That's a line I say all the time to people, and they just kind of like stare at me.
Yeah.
You guys want some cookies?
Between that and am I not turtly enough for this turtle party? I mean,
oh, I had my roommate in college would say he would swear up and down that was a good movie. I'm like, no, it wasn't. Master Disguise,
we'll Pistachio get to Disguise. Master Disguise
we'll get to
on.
That. Yeah.
I'm not turtle enough for the Turtle Club. Turtle. How was that not a massive hit?
Oh my God.
You never know. But anyway, Chris Kattan was the man and deserves to be on this list.
All right. Let's go on to number 38. And I guess I'm doing both of these Weekend Update people. Michael Che, who has been doing the Weekend Update with Colin Jost for about 8 years now. Very good yin and yang. The best part, Davey already mentioned it, is the joke swaps. I also love when one of Che's jokes doesn't hit. They'll either just start writing something down or go, we're in the 90s.
Yeah.
I found it interesting that there is a little bit of a gap between the two. I put them right next to each other on my list. I think I had them 38, 39, or 39, 40. I just have a hard time separating them.
I had neither one on my list. And again, I think they do a pretty good job Weekend Update, but I kind of loaded it up, I think, more with like sketch kind of cast members than I did Weekend Update people, but to each their own. And that's why we have a 5-person panel. Dave, for another old school guy.
Another old school guy. So probably the biggest douchebag on the list and probably like the worst person on the list. Number 37 is Chevy Chase. Uh-huh. But just again, physical comedy, just a really funny dude. Just mm-hmm. like one of those, like you could tell there's some darkness there in that man. But God damn it. Like, is he funny?
If you need a guy to fall through a table, if you need a guy to fall off a ladder, if you need someone to splash a water in their face, that's what you're calling.
That's handsome, right.
But this was a guy that also became like an instant star from this show. And sort of this was the, like the blueprint, like you get good on this show. Then you get into movies, you do that and you kind of take off. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, as much as we like some of the other guys on that season one cast, like who knows if the show even has a second season if it's not for Chevy Chase.
Right. Yeah.
And again, and I think it's also, you have to recognize like the lost potential there. Like if he was on the show for 3 or 4 years, he'd probably be much higher, you know?
Yes. Yeah,
for sure. Was he on it for 1 or 2 years? 1 or 2?
One and a half years.
One and a half.
And then they replaced him with Murray.
Yeah.
Well, they hated each other. And so there's like a famous story that like Bill Murray like punching him in the face, right?
Yeah.
I think Chevy Chase mentioned the marks on his face or something.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
At number 36 is Vanessa Bayer. I don't know. Maybe I had her 21st on my list. So I guess maybe I'm way too high on her. But she's someone who when I just see on screen, she makes me laugh. Just her facial reactions to things makes me laugh. Every sketch she's in, I laugh because of her. She was really good as an update slide in person. Yes. Obviously everyone knows her Rachel Green impression. She also worked really well in duos together too. Really good playing off other people.
This is a person that I absolutely wanted to hate and she won me over. Like I hate the sight of her. Like she's not funny. And then the more I watched, I'm like, she's actually pretty fucking funny.
She is someone that I keep on forgetting how much I liked. So like the point of when Mac and I did our episode, our Build Your Cast, we forgot to mention her on the show. And then when I did my list for this, I forgot to put her on the list. I did eventually. I emailed Keith. We had a rule. You could change your list once and that was it. So I had to add her on. She was so good on Weekend Update and then in sketches too, but she actually found one of her best characters in the second to last episode that she was in, where she was a weather lady who would just talk gibberish and it was hilarious.
Very good. She also did, was the character's name Jacob? The little boy?
Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy.
Yeah. Fucking great.
Is Derek Jeter your favorite baseball player?
Yeah, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Bear was good. All right.
My Dave. Buddy. So a guy, so 35, a guy who obviously way funnier off the show than he was on the show, but number 35 is Chris Rock. Again, it kind of gets lost, you know, in that Spade, Schneider, Sandler, Farley kind of crew. But I remember watching him do like Nat X, like all that stuff on the show and just be really, really funny. And it got just absolute comedy legend that again, did stand up and then, you know, found his way onto this and, you know, became a huge star after.
But I also think there was definitely moments with him where he was pretty good. Like he did, like he has his own best of DVD. You know what I mean? Like there, not every character,
everybody got a best of DVD for a while.
I mean, they have a stretch there where there's some, but I bet it's less than 50. It might be less than 25. I'd have to go back and double check.
Yeah, it's probably only like 15.
As I was going to say, cause he wasn't great on the show. And if you're just thinking of him in the cast, you might put him top 50, but every time that he comes back either as a host or as a pop-in, he sucks. He can't remember any of the lines. He can't read the fucking cue cards. He is terrible on the show now.
Well, he's got CTE following the infamous
slap. I got a brain injury.
Yeah.
Come on. Way to be insensitive, Goo.
I'm fine with it. I'm okay with it. He is distractingly bad on the show.
On national television. Have a little respect. All right, coming in at number 34 on this list, Sherry O'Terry, who is a powerhouse, has so many good characters. That Colette Reardon, they did run it into the ground a little bit, but it's fantastic. The one where she's like got all the bags of fucking prescription pills or lipsticks everywhere. She was good. She's also on that like fake morning show where her and Will Ferrell and
Morning like, Joe or something like
and
that.
And he just fucking screams at her and they like get real nasty and she's just like really.
Spartan cheerleaders.
Yeah, it's a lot of Will Ferrell stuff, but then she does have a few characters. There was like a weather. She also have a weather lady too. I think she did.
But there was one I remember, like almost pissing myself laughing, where she was like the crazy chick in the office.
Yeah,
and she was wearing like a tube top, and she said something like, "I got my elastic basket from a peaches."
That might have been Colette. I mean, she had a good run, but she was another one that I was. So I guess sort of like Chris Kattan, because they were on the same cast, where I just would have assumed she would have been on, like, at the very least, a secondary character on a very popular sitcom.
It's like, funny that you mentioned those two together. Tracy Morgan hated both of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did he hate Tracy? Why? I could see the Catan thing. Any idea on Sherry O'Terry?
So this might just be what I misheard, maybe I misread, but it was that she did not treat him very respectfully. And then he wrote in his book that it's funny because she's nowhere now.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
She pops up on Anderson and Andy's New Year's Rockin' Eve every New Year's Eve party.
I think if you're talking like
Barbara Walters, she was one of the ones that she did Barbara Walters, and she did it so dead on.
Yeah.
And it was one of the great impressions of like the mid 90s.
I think if you talk about like energy and effort put out there, it's like maybe Kristen Wiig more, but like she's up there for like most.
Well, I think the issue that Sherry O'Terry might have too is that she was outshined by a couple people that are in her cast coming up, and then the next wave of women that join the show 100%. Are all fucking great.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, Sherry O'Terry, number 34.
Sherry O'Terry, it's my turn, and let's go to 33. Bobby Moynihan, who was on the show from 08 to 17, giving us such characters as Snooki, Anthony Crispino, Riblet, and Drunk Uncle.
Uncle kicks ass. This is another guy that his first, it might have been his second or third season, they started using him in every sketch.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, I don't know, like, why are they using this guy all the time? And then you're like, he's pretty good. Like, he's pretty good in a lot of things.
I think he's, so like, Keenan is kind of it right now, where if it's a bad sketch, he can at least get someone to smile just by like changing how he says a word or like overemphasizing something, yelling something. I feel like Bobby Moynihan was that for a little while.
He also, in my mind, I associate the two because they came like right after each other. They might even overlap for a little bit. But I feel like he became what they wanted Horatio Sands to be.
Yes.
It was very similar type, but Moynihan was definitely funnier.
I will give Moynihan credit for two things. One, the David Pumpkin sketch would not be what it was without him. Like him dancing with Mikey Day is so fucking good. Mm-hmm. And he was the one, I believe, Keith, correct me if I'm wrong, who went on Howard Stern and was like, Tim Robinson is the funniest person I've ever met in my life. He's the first person like to say on Stern, he was like, we have these new group of people coming in, and this kid, Tim Robinson, is the funniest person I've ever met. And I didn't get it at the time because I had just seen like the Round Ball Rock thing.
No, I don't think we even knew. Like, we knew he was like a writer and stuff, and he was talking about it because Tim Robinson was like a little bit bigger, and Stern was basically asking him, like, hey, do you ever get threatened when they hire people that kind of look like you, that they're gonna get like kind of phased out? And he's like, well, at first he's like, there was this new guy, Tim Robinson, but he's like, but he's so goddamn funny, and like, he's a great writer and blah blah blah, whatever else. Yeah. So yeah. All right, number 32 on this list, we're going with David Spade. David Spade.
I was thinking about him.
Yeah.
And like he did a lot of good things on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. And he has this podcast now with Dana Carvey where they talk a lot about, they used to just have like SNL people on. Now I guess they're kind of opening up to other things, but he stayed longer than everybody else.
Yeah.
And maybe he stayed a little too long. So he was on that cast that I saw, like Sandler and Farley had been fired. Schneider and Rock and all those guys were gone. And Spade was still there. And he did the Hollywood Minute thing. He's also the center of why Eddie Murphy didn't go back on for years and years and years, because he had that line kind of ripping his movie career or whatever. And
no, it was the transvestite joke.
No, it was the movie career thing.
Yeah, it was the movie career. Yeah, it was the falling star. No, it was the falling star.
Oh, it was the falling star. You're right.
Yep. And then there's a picture of Eddie Murphy on there because Murphy even called him out, like, well, you know, why the hell would they do that? But he was also in Gap Girls. He did like the Bye-bye thing was a big hit. And then just popping up, and then, you know, some of the great Chris Farley stuff, like obviously Spade is in those ones, like the one with the van down by the river. He's the one sitting there, he's like cracking, he and Christina Applegate are just like fucking dying on the couch. Spade was good. So Spade kind of similar to Rock, like he clearly got outshined by other guys on the show, but he definitely had his moments and was in a lot of really good sketches.
I didn't think Spade was great on SNL, and what he's most known for is the Spade on Hollywood that he didn't start doing until his final season there.
Yeah.
And they would always tell him, why don't you write stuff and do the walk-ons? And he thought it was stupid. He thought doing walk-ons were dumb. Mm-hmm. Until he started doing it in his final season. He's like, oh, I could have made a career out of this.
Yeah. Oh, he was great at that.
Yeah, and to Keith's credit too, when you go back and look at a lot of the greatest sketches, he's in them because there were so many good players in the 90s when he was there. He's a part of a lot of those.
Also, he stayed longer because he wasn't fired like the rest of them,
which is so bizarre. And then so he actually did catch on, and he was in, what was it called? Just Shoot Me. Like a long time.
He's a sitcom Hall of Famer. You have Just Shoot Me. You have Rules of Engagement. He tried to fill in for 8 Simple Rules for Raising My Teenage Daughter. Circumstance, but
you're mispronouncing. It's Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt is a Joe movie, Dirt. Davey.
And Joe Dirt is Dirt the best movie.
It's pronounced DRT.
How many, and we'll obviously get to Farley later on, but how many more movies could Spade and Farley have made?
Probably 2.
Yeah. I don't think Farley wanted to do more of those movies because he was really hurt by Black Sheep.
But maybe you go away from it and then you bring it back, right? You go 5 years later and then here they come.
I mean, how many movies has fucking Adam Sandler made with fucking Rob Schneider?
You could have just said David Spade.
I was going to say, now they didn't work together on SNL, but how many movies has Will Ferrell and John C. O'Reilly done together? Like, that's got to be 5 or 6 right there.
But everyone hates Rob Schneider now, and Adam Sandler keeps trucking him out.
He calls him every week, sees how he's doing.
Yeah, Sandler doesn't hate him. Sandler's bringing in every movie, every stand-up appearance. Look at Schneider in there.
All right, Dave, next. Next, number 31. And here's a person who gets a bum rap, but I'm gonna say this anyway. One of the better female cast members ever, and that's the 31, Kate McKinnon. Now, Kate McKinnon, I believe, is a victim of her own success. I think they tried to push her to be like the star, like of this show. I don't know if it was always successful with like the Hillary Clinton stuff and like all, I mean, but her doing Ellen, the Maureen Rafferty, like the person getting abducted by an alien.
That's fantastic. Like, the alien invasion thing. The first time I saw that was amazing.
Now the 8th, 9th, 10th time you saw it, probably not as good, but the first couple of times you saw it.
Oh, it's great.
So good and so funny. Even her doing Justin Bieber was really good for a little while. A great character and like just a unique. This is going to sound terrible, but like a unique looking person, right? So like you're like Vanessa Bayer. Like you immediately she draws your attention for right, wrong, or indifferent. So
you
get what I'm trying to say. Yeah,
I can't pretend I ever loved Kate McKinnon. She would make me laugh, but I do agree, victim of her own success, victim of the circumstances, because she's the first star they tried to push post Hader and Wig, and she just wasn't as good as them. She was good at a lot of stuff, but you and I talked about it a few weeks ago. Like, if she was like the third best maybe on her show, she could have been awesome because she only would have been in 40% of sketches instead of 100%. It was just her. For a 5-year period, it was all her all the time. And it just, they hit you over the head with it.
And you say, I mean, she kind of carried the show like in those, that time period.
She didn't have to carry the show though. They had a decent cast.
Right. Yeah. They just put her in every single
sketch. I forgot to put her on my list.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
What are you, me all of a sudden?
coming in at number 30, Daryl Hammond. And I use Daryl Hammond in this exercise as sort of like my equator or line where like, he was one of the first one I put on there. Are you funnier than Daryl Hammond? Are you not? And then I moved him up.
I'd find a lot of people to go above it then.
I had him 24th. In large part, like he was on the show forever. I think only Keenan has been in more episodes. He's like the quintessential glue guy. Like we said, with Spade, he's in a lot of really great sketches over the years. Like cherry on top, he's the announcer now. He's also done a million fucking impressions, and he's usually really good at all of those. So
need a white politician? Daryl Hammond.
Yeah, you want a newsman?
He's just super useful. Super useful. And so, like, that's why I kind of used him where I did, and he ended up right in the middle of my list. He ends up pretty much right in the middle of this one.
My issue is that he's too good at impressions, and he's almost forgettable. I want a little stank on my impressions where it has a, like a little joke to it. It's funny. Like
Sean Connery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so that was one. I will give you that one.
Yeah.
But I look at the Bill Clintons. Phil Hartman, not a dead on Bill Clinton. His Bill Clinton was hilarious. Hammond's was okay.
But you say you want more like caricature, not like an actual really good impression.
One of the best impressions in show history is Will Ferrell's George W. Bush.
Yes.
Does it sound anything like George W. Bush?
No.
No.
Really not all that close.
No, I get that, but that's also why Hammond's at 30 and not in the top 10. You know, I get what you're saying.
He was number one on your list. We saw your list.
Yeah, but he's somebody that I feel like I'm not surprised wasn't a big star after, you know, even watching it because – you know, a guy like Chris Kattan is playing a bunch of like made up characters, whereas Daryl Hammond's playing almost entirely impressions, which is perfect for the show. Like, I think you need it for the show. And even if it's the least funny guy in the sketch, let's say he's doing Ted Koppel, like, you at least need something to sort of push it along.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he was in it for so long too. He did Clinton for so long. And then the Sean Connery stuff, like the Celebrity Jeopardy is also some of the funniest stuff that they have ever done. And between
and that's Kurt all him
and him. Yeah. Well, turn all Ferguson. Him. Turn Ferguson too.
Turn Ferguson. Too, I
forget. All right. Coming in at number 29, somebody who's on that same cast.
Stewart grinning like an idiot.
Anna Gasteyer.
Anna Gasteyer is, and I forgot how good she was. The 50th awesome. Anniversary is really what reminded me. Because when they did the couple, I keep on blanking on their name, but it's Will Ferrell and the wife, and they're singing. And I'm like, I forgot how, first off, funny she is, but then she's also a wonderful singer. And then she did so many impressions on the show where she is, and she came at a time where like Molly Shannon was the big female star on the show. But Anna Gasteyer was really, really funny.
She's great. They did Delicious Dish together, yes. Which I believe the story goes, it was her idea, right? Anna Gasteyer did it in like Groundlings or Second City, wherever she came from. I think she did that. They brought that over, paired up with Molly Shannon, and that's a great one. The Martha Stewart stuff.
Martha Stewart, yeah.
Was a home run every time. But yeah, at this time in the cast, it was between Gasteyer, Molly Shannon, and Sherry O'Terry. Will Ferrell was like the superstar, but then the next like three or four best were all female cast members. Mm-hmm.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair. Every style, every home.
All right. Number 29.
At 28, Rachel Dratch. Everything I said about Vanessa Bayer all applies here, too. She's just so got weird. A really unique face, which makes you laugh. And the way she uses it is even funnier. She makes me laugh every time she's on screen. I think Debbie Downer might be my favorite SNL character ever. And just people breaking in that sketch is so good. She's also, she nails the her part in the Boston Teen stuff too. Like, she wasn't overutilized either. They just used her. They spotted her when they needed her. I for Debbie Downer alone, I knew she was going to be in my top 20.
Great. Dude, Debbie Downer is one of the funniest things that SNL has ever done. I can't think of anything. Like, the first time you saw it, you'd hear people, and it was like, this was like right at the advent of like YouTube. So like, it wasn't, none of that stuff was on there yet, but like, you would hear people talking about it.
Yeah.
Like at the next day, like at the water cooler on Monday, like Debbie Downer.
And
like
Disney World point, Debbie Downer is an all-time sketch.
Yeah. To Keith's point too, when the show was 90% Will Ferrell, she was getting those two or three sketches in every night that were focused on her because she was so funny.
Oh, that's great. And then she was a big part of that Barbara Hernandez sketch. She was Will Ferrell's lover.
The Wesley Arms Hotel. Yeah.
All right, coming in at number 27 is a guy who was not on the cast with all these people. In fact, that was one of the issues probably facing him. That would be John Lovitz.
I'm surprised we didn't give this one to Goo.
Yeah, he does. Love it or leave it.
I do love. I love myself some John Lovitz, and John Lovitz is trying to get the critic going again. So that's credit to Lovitz.
So he was also at a very interesting time in SNL, and so they fired the entire cast from 1 year and brought in like all new cast members. And so at the end of what was it, the 86 season or 80, whatever,
85, 86, yeah,
was like him and everyone else that came in.
And so they did the thing where like basically like Lorne Michaels like throws them all in like a fire, basically, right? Like the fire
and save John Lovitz.
And saved John Lovitz. And then John Lovitz came back. And then like Dana Carvey and Phil Hartman and then whatever, they kind of went from there. I remember as a kid, I was, so even before I started watching it, they were doing like a Halloween special. And I was able to watch that. Mm-hmm. And it was John Lovitz as the devil. And I'll never, ever forget it. He's doing like People's Court and it's John Lovitz as the devil. But he's just, he's another one of those guys that just, he's, whatever he says to me is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Like anytime he pops in on like Weekend Update and does like his little characters or whatever.
Yeah, but that's the ticket.
Yeah, that shit's fun. Him and Tom Hanks. Like what a great, great bit that is.
Acting.
So. He's really just about John Lovitz.
He's really just playing John Lovitz the whole time, but John Lovitz is a character.
I dare you. Yeah.
So
John Lovitz even stuck around after he left the show and just hung out.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I heard two great stories about John Lovitz, about his personal life. One, Janice Dickinson on like the Surreal Life or whatever, talked about he has a massive penis.
That's called confidence.
He's got a big BDE. Yeah.
And the other thing too, I forget who was, I think it was Ed O'Neill was telling the story. I watched it on like TikTok and it was right after Phil Hartman died. And Ed O'Neill, who was doing Married with Children at the time, like ran into John Lovitz like a week after Phil Hartman died. And they were like super close friends. And he went up to him. He's like, "Hey, I'm really sorry." And John Lovitz is like, "About what?" And he's like, "About Phil Hartman dying." And he goes, "Oh, that?" And like brushed it off. But like, he was like, he couldn't not be funny. Like in the moment, like he had to make that joke. And like, you know, like Phil Hartman would have loved that joke. He was he was like, "What do you mean?" Like he knew what he was talking about. He was just like, "Oh, that? Oh yeah." Like old news.
And he took his spot right on news radio.
He did. Yeah. And then it lasted one season and did not go any further.
The end of news radio.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Primally Pure just launched their Blue Tansy Body Butter, and it's more than a moisturizer. It's a full body exhale. This is their best-selling body butter formula, reimagined with calming Blue Tansy. It's a rich, whipped body moisturizer, packed with barrier-building grass-fed tallow to deeply nourish dry, compromised skin. The texture is cloud-soft but ultra-replenishing. It melts in, protects against moisture loss, and leaves skin visibly smoother and more supple. And the scent? Soft Blue Tansy, lavender and sandalwood. Fresh, subtle, and elevated. If you already love the Blue Tansy deodorant or body oil, this is the perfect next step.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, last one for this podcast episode, coming in at number 26.
Yes, starting on the show in 1942 and still currently on it is Kenan Thompson, who I think has just been steady Eddie the entire time. He's a scene saver. They've probably retired his best character, which was What's Up With That?
Oh my God. I disagree.
But it's catchy as fuck.
Oh, catch. He did it like, oh, Beef Jelly was great, but he did.
Oh, yeah.
He did it like twice.
Catch a girl eating Dookie.
No. Did you ever see the one with Googie Renee when he was like, yes, the. That was my favorite.
He has a lot of very similar characters.
I do like his one, and they did it at the 50th with Eddie Murphy, and it wasn't as good. It was cool to see all the stars together. Yeah. But the first couple times they did like the scared straight thing, and
always good. That was always
sit down on your feet, and then it just all plots to movies. It's just so good. Then he always
also been retired too.
Yeah, and then Sudeikis is like, all right. He's like, okay, there's the line. Okay.
McIntyre.
No, yeah, he's awesome.
He's been good on the show ever since he came on. Is he the big headline guy on the show? He never really has been, but he's been the glue throughout.
Oh, he's gone forever. Since he was on All That, this kid.
He was the headliner on All That, him and Kel Mitchell.
Yeah, I would argue funnier on All That.
No. How dare you?
That's a different podcast altogether. All right, so there you go. There is 50 through 26. We'll put a pin in that on the podcast episode. We're going to roll right along here on YouTube. But that is the first half of our top 50 SNL cast members of the first 50 years of SNL.